myself again. Det här är Radio AF, Sveriges fetaste studentradio. 99,1 och 91,1. Det är onsdag, klockan är 8 och du lyssnar på Reverb som idag handlar om Woodstock-legenderna Canned Heat. Förutom bra musik kommer vi även att lyssna på bandets ledare Fito De La Parra som satte sig ner med Reverb och gav en exklusiv intervju. Så luta dig tillbaka, här kommer historien om Canned Heat.
To become famous. When we went to see Skip Taylor to manage the band, I wasn't there, but I remember Bob told him, we want to be at least as famous as Paul Butterfield and his blues band. We became much more famous than Paul Butterfield. But that's the original aim of Canned Heat, was like, yeah, maybe we'll get to become the representatives of the West Coast of the blues.
Country blev en inofficiell signaturmelodi för Woodstockfestivalen 69. Men Canned Heats historia började redan 3 år tidigare när bandet bildades i Los Angeles. Men de två grundarna Bob Hight och Alan Wilson skulle nog säga att historien började långt tidigare, när bluesmusiken uppstod på 20-talet i Mississippi-deltat. Den som har sett Woodstock-dokumentären kommer nu ihåg sångaren Bob Hight, den stora skäggiga mannen som jovialiskt skuttade runt på scenen. Men redan när han gick i femte klass var hans skivsamling ännu större än hans imponerade kroppshydda. Hans hus i västra Los Angeles var en ökänd mötesplats för bluesälskare, och det var här som han skulle möta sin diametrala motsats, den spensliga, introverta Alan Wilson. Wilson, en vit musikstudent från Massachusetts, var en av pionjärerna i återupptäckandet av 20- och 30-talets bluesmusik, som vid den här tidpunkten fortfarande var en angelägenhet endast för en liten grupp svarta musiker, långt utanför mainstreammusiken. När Wilson letade upp den gamla bluesgitarristen Son House hade han inte sett en gitarr på 15 år. Men Wilson lärde honom att spela på nytt och tog med honom till en skivstudio. Wilson och Haidt var nämligen inte bara hängivna lyssnare. De närde själv drömmen om att starta ett band och föra blues-traditionen vidare till en bredare publik. Bandnamnet tog dem från en obskyr gammal blueslåt, Tommy Johnsons Canned Heat Blues. En låt om tändvätskan Canned Heat som fattiga bluesartister drack bort sina sorger med under förbudstiden.
Unika blandning av elektrisk blues, rock och boogie gjorde dem snabbt till lokalkändisar på västkusten. Canned Heat var bland annat ett av dragplåsterna på Monterey Pop Festival 1967, där även okända nykomlingar som Jimi Hendrix och Janis Joplin uppträdde. Det släppte sitt självbetitlade debutalbum Canned Heat med en rivig tolkning av Muddy Waters bluesklassiker Rollin' and Tumblin', och nu börjar saker hända. Bandet bestod nu av Bob Haidt, även kallad The Bear, på sång, Henry Westin på gitarr, Larry Taylor på bas, Frank Cook på trummor och Alan Wilson som både sjöng och kunde spela allt möjligt. Bob Haidts karismatiska sång och Alan Wilsons virtuosa munspelande fick såväl ögonbryn som nackhår att resa sig. Men det insåg att Frank Cook inte höll måttet på trummorna, och det började leta efter en ersättare. Fito de la Parra kommer in i bilden och han berättar om att det inte endast var hans trumspelande som gav han en plats i bandet.
They saw me play with another band one night. And then we rehearsed, and then they made their decision. It was not a very easy, light decision, because the band was starting to become already something important. We didn't know it was going to be famous, but it was important in the hippie scene of Los Angeles and San Francisco. They had been on the Monterey Pop Festival already before I came in. And that was the first step towards the explosion that happened later and culminated with Woodstock. So one of the things that was funny that happened is that the day of the audition, I showed up in their house, in their ranch, they had a little ranch, the managers, with a record of Junior Wells and Buddy Guy under my arm. I didn't know that Bob Hyde was a record collector, or Henry, or any of them, you know? I just showed up, you know, here I am, and came to for the audition. I happened to be that record under my arm. Bob Hyde, years later, told me that he had seen me play already. But the fact that when he opened that door and saw me with that record under my arm, he said, this is the guy we need. This is the guy that brings blues into Canned Heat.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. You were born to play in Canned Heat.
That was my answer. That was my answer when the managers pulled me after the audition and after all that. Because I auditioned and we played like if we were together for years, you know? It was like so natural. I was playing songs that I played before in Mexico, you know, and they were playing themselves. So the managers called me and asked me, said, well, the boys decided they want you, and what do you think? And I said, I was born to play with Canned Heat.
On the Road Again blev en världshit och är än idag en av bandets mest kända låtar. Den var med på bandets andra album Boogie With Canned Heat från 1968. En skiva som tydligt visade att Alan Wilson inte bara var en stor tolkare av andras låtar utan även en mycket begåvad låtskrivare. Canned Heat skulle dock aldrig se några pengar från sin världshit på grund av ett ödesdigert intermezzo som utspelade sig i Denver, Colorado, precis innan deras stora genombrott. Bandmedlemmarna blev arresterade för narkotikainnehav och hade inga pengar till att betala rättegångskostnaderna. En bedräglig skivbolagsdirektör såg sin chans att köpa bandets royalties för en struntsumma. Musiken blev senare värd miljoner och detta var bara början på Canned Heats långa historia av utsatthet för musikbranschens mörkare sidor.
So what happens is that Chet Helms was a famous promoter from San Francisco. He's one of the initiators of the hippie movement and the San Francisco music thing. He opened a club in Denver, Colorado, close to Denver. And the Hicks and the Cowboys out there from Denver, especially the famous sheriff called John Gray, who used to call himself the Wyatt Earp of the West. John Gray had made a promise to the people of Denver that he was going to get rid of all long hairs. So they started harassing the club, bringing on warrants, search warrants, and messing with the club. But legally, they could not do anything because Chet Helms was a smart businessman and he had taken care of all the permits. So since when they couldn't bust the club, they decided to bust the band to give a bad reputation to the club, okay, and to us. And that's what they did. They planted the band, they arrested the band for marijuana possession, and in those times there was a very serious arrest. It was a 10-year penalty, you know, the stupidity of the law sometimes. And so the manager runs to Al Bennett, who is the president of Liberty Records, and tells him, the band is in jail. I need $10,000 to get them out. So Al Bennett tells him, your band is already has a bad reputation. The record is very good, got good reviews. I'm talking about the first Canned Heat record, he says, but it's not popular. It doesn't have a hit record, he says. However, he says, I like the voice. I'm going to buy the rest of your publishing for $10,000 for life so you can get them out of jail. So I guess Skip, you know, thought that would be the thing to do, to sign away the publishing.
All publishing?
Well, he already had 50%, Al Bennett. You must remember, in those times, we were lucky if you got 10% of publishing. The record companies used to take it all. Okay? So in those times, we had 50% of our publishing, which was still pretty good, and we lost it for $10,000. Now, a year later, we had On the Road Again in the charts all over the world and, you know, made at least $1 million that Mr. Bennett made out of his $10,000 investment. Mm. And then many other songs, Amphetamine Annie, everything, you know, Going Up the Country, all those songs, all the publishing of those songs goes directly to EMI. Mm. They're still making a lot of money on our music.
I went to Denver late last fall. I went to do my job. Yeah, I didn't break any law. We worked a hippie place like many in our land. They couldn't bust the place, and so they got the band. 'Cause the police in Denver, one of them long hairs hanging around. And that's the reason why, ooh, well, they want to tear Candy's reputation down. You people in Denver will know what I mean. you the things I'm gonna tell you. Yeah, you all heard and seen. You remember when the cop on the beat used to rob and steal. Today they're gone, but the others get it on. So you know just how I feel. 'Cause the police from Denver, Lord, I don't want none of them long hairs hanging around. Reputation down. Yeah, they're trying to tear it down, boy. I ain't gonna do it though. Just one more thing I wanna tell you before I go. It's a shame the man in Denver has to lie and mistreat people so. Now 6 months ain't no sentence, 1 year ain't no time. When I hear from 1 to 10, it worries my troubling mind. Oh, 'cause the police in Denver, try to tear Kenny's reputation down.
I låten My Crime sjunger Bob Hight om den allt annat än trevliga upplevelsen i Denver. Musikaliskt var det dock inget som kunde stoppa bandets utveckling. Med Alan Wilson i spetsen skulle bandet allt mer skriva sitt eget material, och även deras tolkningar av gamla, okända bluesklassiker blev allt mer uppmärksammade. Going Up the Country var till exempel en omskriven version av Henry Thomas Bulldoze Blues. Låten kom att bli den inofficiella signaturmelodin för Woodstockfestivalen, och många menar att denna låt mer än någon annan symboliserar den anda som präglade festivalen. Men egentligen skulle Can't Heat inte åka till Woodstock, och det var inte förrän i sista minuten som det ändrade sig. Gitarristen Henry Westin hade just lämnat bandet efter ett bråk med basisten Larry Taylor. Dylans gamla gitarrist Mike Bloomfelt gjorde audition, men till slut blev det gitarristen Harvey Mandel som fick rycka in som ersättare. Han hade endast spelat med bandet 2 gånger innan man skulle till Woodstock, och Fito tyckte inte att bandet var tillräckligt samspelt. Han stängde in sig på sitt rum och vägrade åka tills bandets manager Skip Taylor till slut fick ut honom. Problemet var dock att detta var Woodstockfestivalens andra dag. Hypen hade börjat ta fart, motorvägarna var blockerade och det enda sättet att ta sig till området var via helikopter. Fito berättar för oss att Bob Hight bokstavligt talat slängde ut ett gäng skräckslagna journalister ur en nyhetshelikopter. "We are going to report the news," sa det förtvivlat. Från den lyftande helikoptern fick det då höra Hights svar: "Fuck that, we're gonna make the news."
Together we'll stand, divide.
Let's Work Together från Canned Heats fjärde skiva Hallelujah blev deras första och enda listetta i USA och var en cover ursprungligen skriven av Wilbert Harrison. Bandet sköt medvetet upp skivsläppet för att ge Harrison en chans att slå med låten först, vilket han också gjorde. De gamla bluesfantasterna Alan Wilson och Bob Hight var noga med att aldrig glömma bluesmusikens rötter. Kanske var det därför som ingen någonsin anklagade dem, till skillnad från till exempel The Rolling Stones, för att stjäla den svarta musiken. De fick dessutom ofta chansen att spela med sina idoler, som John Lee Hooker, Chicago bluesens okrönte konung. 1970 släppte de skivan Hooker in Heat tillsammans. Alan Wilson var nu på toppen av sin kreativa bana och skrev och sjöng som ingen hade gjort förut. Vid sidan av Bob Hights bulliga stämma var det Wilsons originella ljusa sång som satt sitt avtryck på några av Canned Heats mest välkända låtar, som Going Up the Country och On the Road Again. Men vid sidan av musiken var han en ensam och olycklig ung man. Hans depression ledde till flera självmordsförsök och den 3 september 1970 avled han efter en överdos av antidepressiva mediciner. Likt många av rockhistoriens största, Hendrix, Morrison, Brian Jones och Joplin, var han endast 27 år gammal. Många menar att låtar som mästerverken Time Was och Human Condition bara var en försmak av vart Wilson hade kunnat föra bluesmusiken. Men det kommer vi aldrig att få veta.
Du lyssnar på Reverb på Radio AF 99,1 som idag ger dig historien om Can Heat.
Low down kind of condition, running around.
Alan Wilsons död 1970 var början på en lång period av svårigheter för bandet. Med Wilson hade det förlorat sitt kreativa epicentrum. Tunga droger blev allt mer frekventa i bandet samtidigt som bandmedlemmarna en efter en hoppade av. Kärnan bestod nu av Bob Hight på sång, Fito De La Parra på trummor och Henry Westin på gitarr. Dessutom genomgick musikvärlden en förändring. Den psykedeliska rocken och bluesen som regerat på musikscenen i slutet av 60-talet ersattes nu av de nya musikinfluenserna, såsom punkrocken, hårdrocken och inte minst disco. När storpubliken uteblev fanns ingen plats hos de etablerade musikbolagen för ett band som inte ville anpassa sig efter trender. Canned Heat hittade dock lojala fans och bundsförvanter bland motorcykelgängen, som precis som bandet befann sig i samhällets utkanter.
Remember how hard it was for us to work and all that, and then also we had always our faithful audiences that regardless of disco music being famous or whatever they call it, alternative rock or any of that shit that came out after the 60s, and part of that hardcore audience are the bikers, because we were a biker band. We were a band of outlaws and a band that's anti-establishment, and we play hard music. You know, we were a violent band in a way, you know, and not violent like a hard, like a heavy metal band, because they didn't exist then. So we will be the equivalent. As a matter of fact, I believe Canned Heat has influenced many heavy metal bands too. And if you talk to people like, let's say, Limey from Motorhead, he's mentioned Canned Heat influence on his music, and Van Halen, you know, and all those, you know. So that's another side of the hardness of Canned Heat, not only the kind of the intellectual blues nerd type.
This is a song with a message. I want you to heed my word. Story about this chick I know. They call her and tell to me Annie. She's always shoveling snow. I sat her down and told her. I told her crystal clear. I don't mind you getting high, but there's one thing you should feel. Your mind might think it's flying, baby, on those little pills. But you ought to know it's dying, cause speed kills. But Annie kept on speeding. Her health was getting poor. She saw things in the window. She heard things at the door. Her mouth was like a grinding mill. Her lips were cracked and sore. Her skin was turning yellow. I just couldn't take it no more. She thought her mind was flying on those little pills. She didn't know it was going down fast, cause speed kills. Kill you too, baby. Hold it, Henry. Maybe so, yeah. That's a good part. Human race has taken far too much methadone. She
said, I don't care what a limey says, I got to get it on. I'll start him to the scene of the man who talked from across the pond. She wouldn't heed my warning, Lord, she wouldn't hear what I said. Now she's here in the graveyard.
I slutet av 70-talet hade musikbranschen övergivit Canned Heat och man stod nu utan varken pengar eller en riktig manager. Läget såg hopplöst ut, men hjälpen skulle komma från ett oväntat håll då bandet fortfarande var populärt bland motorcykelgängen. Bob Height berättade för Fito att han hade en vän som nog skulle kunna ta hand om affärerna. Och det var så bandet kom i kontakt med The Push.
Now we had this guy, a wonderful guy called Ray Chambers. And we used to call him The Push. He was a huge, big biker, you know, with everything, you know, he was a wonderful guy. And he loved Canned Heat. And during our worst times, which was the late 70s, he came on to us and said, I want Canned Heat to be famous again. I want to help you and blah, blah, blah. You know, I got a lot of money and we got the power of the motorcycle clubs. And we did several tours and we worked with him. That was prior to Bob Height's death. Bob Height died while we were managed by them. Was in it? 1982, I believe. 81 or 82. 81. 81, yes, 81. So that's when The Push was managing the band. I'll tell you why we call him The Push. It was very funny. Because imagine this big guy, over 300 pounds with tattoos and all that, you know. And he's got a bag full of money and full of speed and cocaine, right? And that's how he does business, you know? So, one time when he comes to... Oh, because Bob Height calls me and says, I want to hire this guy to manage the band. He's wonderful. He loves us. He's got power. He's got a lot of, you know, heart for the band. And that's what we need. So I'm sending him to your house so you can talk to him, because Bob could not make a decision without me, of course, at the time. I was already the band leader. So he sends The Push over, right? And The Push, of course, the first thing he does, he puts these two gigantic lines of cocaine in front of me. And I go, what? Am I going to have to do that to talk to this guy? You know, it was really... Because that's how he used to do business. He used to put cocaine in front of all these people, the club owners and all that. And he would get them so high that they will say yes to anything he asks. You know? Especially because he's, you know, imagine this big, huge biker, you know, with his SS t-shirt and all that. And, you're going to like the band now, you know, you're going to hire Canned Heat, right? You know, and, you know, of course they say yes, you see. But with me, I didn't touch the shit. I'm not saying I didn't do it, but that time maybe just a little bit. And then I look at him and say, so Ray, what is going to be your strategy to deal with the band? What's your strategy? He goes, strategy? I don't know, no fucking strategy. He goes, I'm just going to push. So then he became The Push. Come on baby, won't you give me a chance? I just wanna see you dance. Come on, don't you let me down. I love my baby, tell the world I do. I don't love anybody right now.
my room. Sweet mama, don't you let it fall. I mean, sweet mama, don't you let it fall.
Protected, I think in the documentary, protected by the Hells Angels.
Yeah, because remember, in those times there was many promoters that stole from us. We were struggling at the time, and sometimes we didn't draw that many people, and the promoters would lose money, so then they wouldn't pay us. Not when you have the push and you have a couple of Hells Angels with you every night. So when we were managed by the push, every gig we play, a couple of Hells Angels will show up and ask us, is there anything you need? And then we will just say, no, thank you for being here. And then they will leave. So every night we knew we had the protection of the club. And that felt good. I can't say, you know, I mean, of course it felt good.
And perhaps he showed more interest than the record companies.
Oh, he was much better than any record company. As I say, he had the heart. Of course, his style of managing was totally unorthodox and crazy. You know, his office, you should have seen it. And he managed from the car. In the back of the car, he had like motorcycle parts and contracts and records and CDs and everything mixed in the back of the seat. Oil, cans, gloves, food, some dope, you know. Everything in the back of the seat was his office, you know. One time I remember he goes, I have a tour for you guys. I said, okay, well, what is the itinerary? He goes, itinerary? What do you mean itinerary? He goes, you just go where I tell you to go and play what I tell you to play. That's the itinerary. And then he goes, and money? Don't worry about money. I got plenty of money in this bag.
Long ways from home. Can't sleep at night. Grab my telephone, darling. Something just ain't right. That evil. I said evil's gone on wrong. Well, didn't warn your brother. You're gonna lose your happy home. Long ways from home. Can't sleep at all. Got another mule, baby, kicking in my stall. That evil, I said evil's gone on wrong. Well, then warn your brother, you're gonna lose your happy home. On your front door, run around to the bank. There goes your best friend like a V8 Cadillac. Evil, I said evil's gone on wrong. Well, then warn your brother, you're gonna lose your happy home. Sleep at night. Grab your telephone, darling. Something just ain't right. Evil, I said evil's gone on wrong. Well, to warn you, brother, you're gonna lose your happy home.
Med The Push som manager och med Hells Angels skydd mot oärliga konsertarrangörer lyckades Canned Heat får saker och ting att gå runt. Det släppte däremot inga nya betydelsefulla skivor som det hade gjort för 10 år sedan. Och Bob Hight tog motgångarna hårt. Den stora, karismatiska, sjungande björnen hade nu förvandlats till en trött och bitter person som blev mer och mer beroende av droger. Ansvaret att hålla ihop bandet låg nu allt mer på Fitos axlar.
He was tired. And he was not a band leader. He didn't even have that much experience on the stage. He was a musicologist, you understand? He was a record collector, not a performer. Like Larry Taylor and myself had much more experience performing on the stage than Bob did. And I guess I was the businessman, you know? So I had my head screwed tight a little bit better than Bob, so he trusted me to make the decisions. So I started making the decisions and keeping the band alive as good as possible.
I april 1980 skulle bandet uppträda i Los Angeles, men Height var mer utslagen än vanligt. Ett par Hells Angels-medlemmar gav honom uppåtchack för att han skulle orka uppträda. En halvtimme senare hade hans hjärta slutat slå. Dagens Reverb har ni hört historien om Canned Heat, producerad av Emil Westerlund och mig, Viktor Holmberg. Trots Canned Heats motgångar under 80-talet lyckades Fito de la Parra hålla ihop bandet, och idag åtnjuter Canned Heat äntligen den legendstatus det förtjänar. Flera av medlemmarna som var med på Woodstock har återvänt, och bandet turnerar fortfarande oavbrutet.
Well, maybe your best years are ahead still.
Well, as long as our bodies let us do it, you see. Remember, musicians don't retire. Musicians just die. You know, if you think about most of us, that's the way it is. And so as long as my body lets me do it, I'll play. Because I love playing. You know, that's the part of the whole thing that we really love still doing. We hate the road, we hate the traveling and the fucking airplanes and the airports and all that shit, but we love playing. And I say in my book very clear, the music is free. What we charge for is to get there.
Ever since I was a kid, you sure look good to me. Now I'm a man full grown and I know what I hate to see. Well, it might be tomorrow. Well, I just don't know. Well, it might take years. I wonder when they're going to destroy your faith. It may seem silly, but I don't like what's been coming down. 'Cause you've been looking good too long to change your color now. They might test some bombs and scar your skin. I don't think they care, so I wonder when they're going to destroy your face. I hope I'll see you in the sky at night when I get old. I hope you'll look about the same as when I was a boy. When I think about what they might do, I wonder when they're going to destroy your face.
Well, you sure look good in the sky at night, and it's sad to say you won't shine so bright someday. When they're through with you, I bet you've seen the lovely maid that covers our ballet. I wonder if you might be mine, a shroud like that.